Oh shit, that sounds crazy. And it's like, what's going down, y'all? You know what I'm saying? It is officially WrestleMania week. And right now, it is definitely time to talk about wrestling like nobody else in the world, but also just talk about wrestling leading up to wrestling on the biggest day, or nowadays, biggest weekend in wrestling, period.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So, let's get with it. It is the first Black Champ podcast, and I'm Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, Barbershop Digital. You search that out, you find us and the cornucopia of podcasts that you can go ahead and check out. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. You see Cam got on the red, you know what I'm saying? So, go ahead and check that out. Get that merch. You can click the link in our bio. You're going to get all the links to all of the DSPs, and you're going to get the merch. Where that link at? That link is at fbc.pod or fbc_pod. Yeah. Underscore is over on Twitter. The dot is on Instagram. Give us that fan rating or give us that 4-star rating. If you do that, Camp will be happy because it all falls under the 5.
Hey, yo.
And I could do that today without no intruding and no impedance because this man's voice, he got a sore throat today. So I can have a little bit of fun between that and racism. We're going to have a great day today.
We're going to challenge the racism.
We're actually going to start off the show with racism a little bit, okay? I mean, we're on the road to WrestleMania. Yeah. I think I ain't the only one. We've said it on this pod. Camp ain't the only one that said that this road to WrestleMania has sucked. Let me tell you this. The WrestleMania road that lands in Chicago is normally lit.
Yeah.
Like, it's normally the go-to spot to have the conversation. Like, yo, this is why Chicago is a great town. Other than AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, this was the worst Chicago road to WrestleMania that I've ever seen. So, I mean, WrestleMania is going to be lit because it's still WrestleMania. Shouts out to everybody that's going to be down in Dallas this weekend. You know what I'm saying? May you not have any wrestling babies. Make sure you strap up. The male birth control pill is not released yet, so make sure you strap up and don't get none of these women or harlots pregnant. Ladies, don't let none of these niggas or harlots get you pregnant. All right?
Yeah, especially the lames.
Exactly. You know, the ones that's first time. It's going to be a lot of people that lose their virginity this week. It's going to be a lot of people that go down to WrestleMania week and they're going to lose their virginity. So congratulations to you all, you know what I'm saying, for busting your cherry, you know what I'm saying, before WrestleMania. But we got to start this show off right, because last week we talked about the greatness that is Scott Hall. May he rest in peace. But another Click member is in the news. He made an announcement that he's going to retire. So I'm just going to start this off with my favorite theme song from this man.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah, turn that up a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Triple H announced his retirement from in-ring competition. And like I said, I like the game, how you play it. I like that theme. I like the King of Kings thing.
Yeah.
But this right here?
Yeah, man.
Ain't nothing like it.
Yeah, man.
When this shit came on, you knew somebody was getting their ass beat.
Yeah.
You knew somebody was getting fucked up with a sledgehammer.
My time.
Yeah, man. Triple H with Stephen A. Smith on Stephen's World.
Yeah, man.
Stephen A.'s World announced his retirement from in-ring competition.
Which was big. I'm sorry.
Very big.
Shout out to Stephen A. Smith, too, man.
Yeah.
That's a big moment for him. I mean, obviously, we know Stephen A. for covering basketball and football, First Take, and, you know, just that other world of sports. And for all the people, because is Jonathan Coachman or Charlie still in the contract with
him? Well, Charlie is.
Okay. So for them to still tap Stephen A to do this, that's pretty big. That's pretty big.
Yeah. And it's big for wrestling too. Like, yeah, Steve, well, Triple H has always been a wrestler that's been invited to First Take. Mm-hmm. You know, the WWE and ESPN has a strong relationship. Hell, Disney is rumored to be one of the people that's looking to buy the WWE. So that relationship is strong, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Triple H detailing his fight for his life, really. Mm. You know, we're having fluid around his lungs, starting to cough up blood. Stephanie like, yo, you need to go to the doctor. The doctor saying, yo, you need to go to the hospital. Mm. He talked about his heart rate, you know, how they monitor it, and the shit went as low as 12.
Wow.
Which is heart failure, basically. Near heart failure and stuff. And, you know, because of that, he has a defibrillator in his chest. And he's retiring from in-ring competition. Ladies and gentlemen, Triple H is 52 years old.
Wow.
To keep that in mind, Batista is in his early 50s.
Yeah, man.
Goldberg is in his early 50s, and he just got through wrestling for $1 billion over in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So, as I was telling my wife yesterday, while 52 might seem old to some, 12 years older than me, 13 right. years older than you, so it's not necessarily that old to us. But at the same time, wrestlers still move around and get it in that time. And Triple H is not going to be able to do that. No spot dates, no nothing. So before we get into our WrestleMania preview with the matches that we know and possibly the matches that might pop up, another match is supposed to be announced tomorrow, other than what we are been waiting for Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Another match is supposed to be announced too, but we want to talk about the legacy of Triple H. We're not going to do an oral history joint. No, we need to prepare for that.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to do that, but I do wanted to take time to talk about the greatness of Triple H, and I have a hot take as well that I don't necessarily think is a hot take, but it's going to be a hot take today. When you think of Triple H, Camp, hey, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
All right. First thing that comes to my mind, and I've said it on this our platform numerous times, and even as this day comes, as we realize there's no longer competing in the ring, I can officially firmly stand on it. Triple H is the greatest heel in wrestling history for me.
Okay.
So I don't think where we sit at in wrestling, that suffices as a hot take. I don't I don't see many people that have been able to do exactly what Triple H did as a heel in any era. There's been some great ones, but none quite capture it like Triple H. So for me, first thing that comes to my mind, greatest heel in wrestling history.
First thing that comes to my mind is that he's the most underrated wrestler in the last 30 years.
Wow.
And what I mean by underrated is, and I know somebody's going to be like, yo, Triple H underrated? What? I think because of his choice and his wife, people discredit Triple H and his abilities and what he do. Okay. I've always been a Triple H fan. Mm. Like, I didn't see Terrorizing, but I saw John Paul Levesque. I remember seeing him and like, yo, he going to be nice. Mm. And then when the racism comes to play, you know, he started tagging up with Lord Steven Regal. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Camp for the Poor don't like them.
Hey, that's not true. Lord Steven Regal has always gotten the pass for theme music alone.
You go. But, you know, he messed with Squire David Taylor.
For oh, yeah, fuck homie, though.
There you go. There we go. Racism is full display.
That's just selective partnering.
Right. Now, like I said last week about Scott Hall, and when I first saw Scott Hall, my first thought was, oh, that go to Diamond Stud. When I saw Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley enter the WWE, start with the vignettes and stuff, I was like, yo, that's John Paul Levesque. He's coming. So the wrestling nerd, there he goes again. But yeah, he's the most underrated wrestler to me because of his choice and his wife. People discredit him. People think that he buries people to keep himself on top and everything. If you look at some of the losses that Triple H has had, you'd be like, yo, why did he do that? Yeah, some people get quote unquote buried, but you know what I'm saying? But I don't consider, no, I'm just saying quote unquote because of y'all. I don't necessarily think that. I think, and I agree with you, if he's not, I would say now that he's done, yes. Until Randy Orton gets another heel run when he beat the shit out of Riddle. You know what I'm saying? It is Triple H. And I will say that he had the best heel run to me that I saw from a singles competitor.
Yeah.
No, I've defended in a way him defeating Booker T at WrestleMania. Just because the heel run was unmatched.
Yeah.
And in this case, in the special case of WrestleMania, the heel got to win. The heel got to win. And the heel did that. So, yeah, at this point in time, he's definitely the best heel that I've been around. And the game moniker is probably just as perfect as, you know, Rowdy Roddy Piper or, you know, the Macho Man and, excuse me, any other moniker that you come with. Because when Triple H leaves DX and he goes on this solo journey, like he definitely was on his Cerebral Assassin shit.
Yeah.
And he was definitely out there beating people's ass.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody was exempt. Nobody was exempt. Like, and the other reason why I credit Triple H as being the greatest heel of all time is because he took it up another notch every single time. Like, just when you thought he was taking it too far doing some shit.
Too far.
I was like, whoa, that's way too far. Like, fam. All of a sudden, he's like, and it ain't one step. He was like, no, I'm going to take six steps this way.
Yeah, he's like, a habitual line stepper.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you think about it, right? DX breaking up. You know, he obviously was on some other shit, but it was kind of like on some just like, you know, like punk shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, like fuck X-Pac, fuck the Outlaws right now, shit. Really, fuck China. You know what I mean? Like, I got to leave y'all motherfuckers alone and just do this. And like, it was just, you know, low blows and doing anything to win, right?
Right.
But then when you think like, damn, that's kind of fucked up. You broke up DX, nigga. Like, you saved it to do this. Like, man, what the fuck?
At WrestleMania,
yeah,
might I add, he did this shit at WrestleMania.
Right. Like, I want everybody to know it's over with. Like, Raw, yeah, we could have did it on Raw. But you know what? If I do it at WrestleMania, now you know what time it is, right? So then he does that into incorporating, I believe that beating up just everybody's next. I think this is when like Jim Ross first got his ass whooped. And
yes.
And like, you know, now he goes from Punk and Michael Cole to threatening Michael Cole's life. And then, and like, so now it's like, yo, I'll beat the staff ass. I'll beat Joe ass. Can't nobody fuck with me.
Earl Hebner too.
Right, yes. And referees was getting their ass slaughtered by Triple H after this. And then when you think, damn, he just beating up people that ain't got shit to do with nothing. Then he starts bringing in the sledgehammer. So now it's fuck everybody. I whoop everybody ass, staff, label, and motherfucking crew. But now I got a weapon, and I'm going to start beating the shit out of every fucking body,
man,
with this until I get what I want.
And you know how sadistic this man was?
Mm-hmm.
Triple H made sympathetic figures out of people like Jim Ross and Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
And we felt so bad for Earl Hebner.
Yeah, man.
Because we knew he couldn't do shit with Triple H. We felt so bad for Earl Hebner getting his ass beat.
Yeah.
But him and Stephanie McMahon made sympathetic figures out of people like her daddy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. When Vince McMahon was at his worst, Triple H basically whooping his ass with Stephanie's approval. Made Vince McMahon into a sympathetic figure, right? Other people, like I said, Jim Ross and Earl Hebner became sympathetic figures. The whole Katie Vick thing, which may have been one of the worst segments in wrestling history, made Kane sympathetic.
Word.
Like, it made us sympathetic to Kane.
He could even make facial expressions at that time, but we cared.
Yeah, like, he made sympathetic figures out of a lot of people through his work. But then, again, taking it back to last week, I hope Triple H knows how to culture fucks with him. Because, again, DX, excuse me. I'm looking at the goddamn commercial DHL for some reason. that's why I fucked up. Yeah.
I deliver liquor for them.
There you go. There you go. But DX, D-Generation X, that right there, to me, solidified his place in the culture because we got suspended from school for doing the DX job.
Wow. Absolutely.
And even before that, man, shouts out to Triple H for being on hoes.
Man.
Like, came into the WWE on hoes, ladies and gentlemen. You know, he came to the ring with a different woman every week until the Sable thing came up. He helped us introduce Sable, whooped Mark Merrill's ass from time to time, brought in China, you know, helped introduce the eighth or the ninth wonder of the world in China. No need to delve into the personal life situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But professionally, he helped give us the ninth wonder of the world. His time in DX, him taking over DX. Like, you have to understand that when Shawn Michaels, in a sense, take his sabbatical, you don't know what's going to happen to DX. We don't know if Triple H is going to be a top-notch wrestler. We don't, a top-notch character. We don't know if he's going to be, you know, high-card person. Because we're so used to him being, you know, the foil somewhat, the winning the European championship the way that he did. We just think, you know, he's just like a side player in this. And he quickly takes DX and takes them to new heights. Man. But to get on his sadistic shit, you have to look at him versus Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
In pure height of, I don't give a fuck about nobody. Because that is one of the few times at that time that I marked out over anything. When he wrestled in the non-sanctioned fight with Shawn Michaels and he hit Shawn Michaels in the back with the sledgehammer. I don't know about you. Now, I'm grown at that time.
Yeah.
We're grown at that time. We know this shit for what it is.
Right.
I'm like, damn.
Yeah, man. The story told of that outside of the ring really is what helped the story inside of the ring.
Yeah.
Because remember when Shawn Michaels left, you know, obviously hit his back on the casket, boom, boom, boom. Then we hear, oh, damn, he wasn't going to show the WrestleMania. Damn, against Austin. Wow, it was that real. So, like, and then Jim Ross, the art of selling the story even when a guy leaves and comes back. You got to look at it like, I really thought that no matter what Shawn Michaels did, I felt the wrong hit to his back was going to cripple him for life.
Like,
I really believe that. Like, even as a grown-ass 20-something, I was like, yo, you about to fuck up Shawn Michaels for life, bro. Like,
Shawn Michaels ain't going to be back next week.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
It's over with.
Right. So, no, so salute to all three of them for, like, they really made you believe. Even your 20s, they made you believe that, yo, wait a minute. It's like, fam, you can't, like, just wrestle, bro.
Yeah. Like, Triple H, man, and like I said, we're going to do an oral history on this, so we're not going to give up too much. But, yeah, man, like, Triple H is just one of those people when he came across on the screen, you was going to love him, you was going to hate him.
Yeah.
And probably even more importantly is that he gave you something. Each time.
For sure.
He just gave you something. And And even when, you know, doing the spot dates and becoming an authority figure and all of those things, mm-hmm. he's really one of the smartest wrestlers ever.
Yeah.
That's why when people say, you know, well, you know, Stephanie McMahon, yada, yada. Nah, G. Like, and then giving us NXT. Mm-hmm. And it was great to see all of the people that went through NXT showing him love and everything. Like, Triple H gave us something. Was simply put, he helped give us what we see in the top wrestlers that we have right now mm-hmm. through that platform, taking it over through that platform, giving us the performance center, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So Triple H may have changed the game in more ways that we will understand until, mm-hmm. you know, maybe 10, 15 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And not only do I agree, and just like we've seen the love, I mean, of course, you know, you can't get through it without the hate, which is, you know what, which is why I ultimately respect Triple H. You know what I'm saying? If you look through enough docs and you see enough people on Twitter, you'll see that even some of the biggest stars and some of the what ifs, they be like, you know what, Triple H, it's fuck homie on the low, but I made it anyway. Edge and Jericho, I always think about when I think of that. Of course, Ryback got his shit off a little bit on Twitter.
Yeah, he did.
And you know what? I get what he's doing. And what's so funny is I don't think he still grasps the fact that the best way to prove him wrong would be to become great somewhere else besides Twitter.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I felt so bad for him getting killed. I was like, you know what, man? Y'all actually met Ryback, man. He's actually not a bad guy. Now, look, I don't know what that translated to in the wrestling because, again, Daniel Bryan was punking him out. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, he didn't have anything favorable to say about Triple H. And I think what's also very cool and noteworthy about Triple H is that although he's never been the Crockett, Gagne, McMahon guy, he is one of the faces of, he said I wasn't going to be shit. He always believed in me person, and it happened or it didn't. And people want to talk about it. So just for even him being in that space, not being the guy until, like, I mean, obviously NXT is his baby, but we're talking even before then. Like, you know, Triple H is always, he's been that guy of this era and the last era even that's been synonymous with, yo, well, he said I wasn't going to be shit, but look what I became. Or, yo, he always believed in me.
Yeah.
And look, I did it. And, you know, and we have that name and face to put him with. So that's also just something very special about the career, the life, and the times of Triple H.
And the other thing is, which makes him one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time to me, is that he had a feud with everybody.
Mm, yeah.
Kane, yeah. Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Rock, Stone Cold,
Angle.
Kurt Angle, Big Show,
mm-hmm. Orton. Like,
yeah, Orton, you name Jeez. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, you name it, he had them.
Yeah, no dream matches for Triple H.
Right, there's not.
No dream matches.
Like, Sting. Like,
yeah. Yep, he got Sting up. Seth Rollins, he got that up.
Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner.
Yeah,
like he got him on Ultimate Warrior. Like, yeah. Even though that was like 15 seconds, like he got Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
like he got him off against anybody and everybody. Took the L when needed, got the win when needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like the matches that with the Undertaker, the match with the Undertaker at WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? The fuse with Shawn Michaels and Randy Orton, John Cena. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You name it, he got him.
Yeah, man.
Hey, you know, you can't, you really, if I were to look at it, if I was Triple H and I were to look at my career, it's like, shit, I really got him off against everybody, even some of these new cats, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, yeah.
I really got him off against everybody, The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people need to look back at that Shield evolution run mm-hmm. and how that shit was giving us some of the best matches in Buddy's career, you know, late mm-hmm. into it. People need to look back at, you know, his promos against Seth Rollins. You know, basically telling Seth Rollins, yo, you trying to make these fans happy, fam. You a bitch. Like, you know, in all words. Like, that man literally gave you everything.
Yeah, yeah. Triple H definitely brought calling you a puss.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he had women, you know, flash for us. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Women ain't showing their titties on wrestling in the stands until Triple H requested it.
Yes. Like Triple H's career could have went a couple of ways. He could have been the new age Ravishing Rick Rude.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I'm saying, he could have been something else. Mm-hmm. But he was who he was. To me, one of the most underrated, again, and most unappreciated wrestlers that we have. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we start looking at Triple H the way we should look at Triple H and give Triple H his flowers. Word. Because everybody but Ryback seems to be doing that right now.
Word.
And Triple H is definitely one of those. Triple H is definitely one of those people that you had just mentioned. Like, if I don't fuck with you, I respect the hell out of you.
Yeah, man.
At the end of the day, you know, because of what you've done for this business, probably what you've done for me, you know. And even seeing some of the things that people at NXT said about him before this retirement. Yeah. You know, AJ Francis, Frank said that he basically gave them creative control over their character. It's like, hey, y'all, that's y'all.
Right. Yeah,
that's y'all culture. Who am I to come up in here trying to make y'all PN news?
Right. Word. You know what I'm saying?
You know. So, man, salute to that man. Salute to that man, Triple H. And we're going to do a oral history. We'll probably end up doing it next week because next week is WrestleMania weekend.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, two nights. I mean, if it's probably going to be a great time to do it, that is the great time because it is WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. And think of some of the WrestleMania moments that we got off of Triple H. I think from the Booker T stuff, you know, and some of those other matches to even something that's underrated, which is legitimately the first Undertaker match.
Yeah. The one that even promo tried to get us to be like, no, it never happened.
It
like,
never
no,
happened.
We no, was there.
We was there. Yeah. We watched it.
It ended in the audience, I remember.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wait, the match over? But they ain't even.
Right, which basically is going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's basically what that match is going to be. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go on and just go straight into our WrestleMania predictions. WrestleMania 38 is next weekend, April 2nd and 3rd out in Dallas, Texas. That is also Lando Day weekend, Lando Day 3. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not going nowhere that weekend if it's on the first because, you know, it's Lando Day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot going to be going on that weekend.
Damn, 3 already, huh?
Yeah, he's 3. Yep. Wow. Shit.
Wow, I remember you making the video announcement.
Man.
Shit. I swear that just happened.
Right. Then 2 weeks from that, on the 14th, is Liam's first. Bang Ben Skeeton on FBC Pod. All right, so
absolutely,
y'all. If you've been listening to this podcast for at least 3 years, I've had kids too.
Man,
so hey, that's how life goes.
Wait, no, yeah, it's Trey. Yeah, okay, yeah. I was like, no, Trey was before.
Yeah, Trey. Before. Yeah, Trey 7. Trey
I was
8.
I was gonna be like, but that's cutting it close. You almost had all your kids through his podcast.
Yeah. You heard Trey in the beginning crying and shit.
That is true. That is facts.
But man, WrestleMania 38 is going to be going on in Dallas, Texas, AT&T Stadium, the home that Jerry Jones built. Man. The most stupendous two-night event in WrestleMania history. I ain't going to lie. I hate the word stupendous. It sounds clownish to me, but.
Question.
What's up?
I'm sorry. Because of everything you just said, even with stupendous, right? Do you think, and I'm going to ask this question to the audience as well, do y'all think that the road to WrestleMania has been super Reggie because of where it's going to be?
No, I think.
Okay.
Nah, I think if anything, this was the time for it not to be Reggie. Is that Jerry's world? This is going to be over 100,000 people going to be up in this joint. This might be the most people in an arena in WrestleMania history. No, this definitely ain't the time to be Reggie. You be Reggie at
the Mercedes Benz.
No, not even that. No, you be that in Anaheim.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You be Anaheim, that.
Get Reggie.
Right. You be that in Rockford. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hey, shout out to the Metro Center. 815.
There you
but
go.
Yeah, we
but
don't need all that for that.
Yeah, you don't need all that for that. You don't do that at Jerry's World. You don't do that at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You don't do that at Rosemont Horizon. You don't do that at MSG. You don't do that at those places. Right. SoFi Stadium. You don't do that in Vegas. No, you save the mid for, you know, Tallahassee. You save the mid for
I need to go front Bridgestone. Save it for Bridgestone or Nissan Stadium.
Yeah,
I ain't go front.
This ain't the time to be mid. This was the time for it to be lit. And to keep it a buck, that's probably one of my biggest disappointments about this road to WrestleMania, is because this right here should have been major because of where it's at. But it does not feel major to me, but we all know it's WrestleMania, so on April 2nd and 3rd, things are going to change. Well, maybe, because let me just say this too.
Okay.
And I don't want this to sound sexist. I don't want this to sound bad in any other way. No, but I think that the WWE is making a huge mistake by having Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey as the main event from night one.
Really?
They're making a huge mistake. Ronda Rousey is continually giving us the worst promos that we've ever seen.
Yeah, man.
Like, she needs a manager. She needs a Slick. She needs a Paul Heyman. She needs a Bobby the Brain Heenan. She needs somebody where she can just sit
there. Harvey Whippleman at this
something. Point. She needs somebody, Jack. Clarence Mason, she needs somebody. Because she can't talk, fam. The promo that she called herself, if I was Charlotte Flair, I'd be mad.
Yeah.
You literally could have gave us the Four Horsewomen as the main event at WrestleMania, WrestleMania Night 1. Because originally, that was what they apparently was going to go with. The same joint we saw at that NXT TakeOver was allegedly supposed to be the main event, one of the main events for this WrestleMania. It's like, nah, Ronda's coming back.
Damn, get well, Bailey. Damn.
Yeah. Like, this right here, and I don't tend to jump on the internet wrestling community side on this shit, but I feel y'all with this shit. Like, I feel y'all. It's no other way around it. This shit's that the match itself, Charlotte's going to do her thing.
Yeah.
But this is literally, the lead up to it has been huff. I even told my wife was like, she likes seeing them fight. And I said, I was like, I understand why you like seeing them fight. Yeah, like, you like seeing Ronda fight because you know who Ronda Rousey is. But, like, she don't even do what we need her to do in this match to make this match look good. What do you mean? Did she hear her talk? And she was like, okay, I understand. And then when I pointed out to her, like, yo, she barely even likes to sell these moves. And she started, and I had to explain to her what that is. And she was like, oh, yeah, she don't do that. Oh, you supposed to do that? It's like, yeah. I thought it's supposed to make it as real as possible, and being she's a real fighter, like, nah, gee, this.
Well, that's the other. I mean, shit, we've seen her get her ass cleaned.
Exactly. I said the last two times she got her ass beat, and then last time she looked like she was about to cry in the ring, and then she ended up crying in the ring. So, you know, mental health and all that shit aside,
I was worried about these right here. About them. Hey. The way she was crying that last one.
Man, a lot of people was, but at the end of the day, man, it's like, but let's start with Friday, right? Because we got WrestleMania Friday. We got two matches that have been announced for WrestleMania Friday. Let's start with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which is going to happen on SmackDown this Friday. Don't know who's going to be in it, but we know it ain't going to be a lot of the people that's on the main card.
Right.
Now, last year, I was right with Jey Uso. They ain't do no shit with it.
Right.
So, of course, this
is the one.
Right. So, this is going to be somebody that wins a battle royal and they don't do shit with them. So, who's somebody that could win this battle royal and they don't do shit with?
Rick Boogs.
Oh, okay.
That's my pick, Rick Boogs. I was kind of leaning towards Ridge Holland until Big E had his neck broke.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going Rick Boogs because he's worked his way into something. And to be real, And to be real, the other two dudes that I would have picked for this would have been Austin Theory or Pat McAfee, to be real. That's my three. Rick Boogs, Austin Theory, Pat McAfee. So I'm going Rick Boogs.
Rick Boogs is out here looking like swole Freddie Mercury, so I see it.
You know what I'm saying?
My pick is Mad Cat Moss.
Ah, another great. Yeah. I literally crossed, boom. But yeah, yeah, yeah. We right.
Right.
Well, one of us got to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we got the two best picks possible. And they both on SmackDown.
Bingo. There you go. All right, so let's get into night one. So we're going to go through the matches that have been announced. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do two matches that are rumored to be announced. As we record this on Sunday morning, on Monday it is expected to expected to hear Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins.
Yes.
For WrestleMania, which is a match that definitely can't wait for. Another one involves Omos, because Omos had threw out a challenge for WrestleMania. So we're going to do that one. We're going to say that one, that possible announcement after this joint right here, picking those two matches. But let's start with Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio versus The Miz and Logan Paul, a tag team match set. I know you're not a fan of the Mysterio family anymore, and I'm not too much of a fan of Cleveland Rocks, which is Logan Paul and The Miz, but I'm really not that much of a fan of the Mysterios in this case. I just want Rey and Dominic to fight.
Yeah.
So who do you got in this match?
You know what, man? I'm going with Cleveland Rocks, man. Granted, a lot of people, I think this plays out just like life, right? A lot of people want to see Logan Paul get his ass beat and get what's coming to him. But this shit ain't going to happen, man. This shit ain't going to happen because he got money, he got resources. And you know what? He's better than average at what he do. So you gotta figure it the fuck out, bro.
Yeah, man, I'm gonna go with Cleveland Rocks too, because last year the Miz took the L with John Morrison versus what's my man name? Forgot my man name that quick. Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny got this shit off.
Yeah, Bad Bunny got his shit off last year. So the Miz gotta go ahead and get his get back with the celebrity. So I'm gonna go with Cleveland Rocks right here. And I believe that Dominic and Rey Mysterio will finally we start seeing real signs of fuck you, Pops, coming soon after that. Let's go with Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin with Madcap Moss in a grudge match at WrestleMania. I'll kick this one off right here. Of course I'm picking Drew McIntyre to win this match. I don't think there's no other pick.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's not. I mean, hey, I was wrong on Saudi Mania 7, I think it was, 6 or 7. Yeah. So I don't plan to be wrong this time. Drew McIntyre.
All right. We have a tag team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Usos versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs.
Yeah, man.
According to camp, will be the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner. So yeah, man. Who do you got here?
Usos, man.
Okay.
Usos. Well, last time I watched wrestling, which was probably like a week and a half ago, they're doing the countdown, longest running SmackDown champions in history. Yeah, Shinsuke and Rick ain't about to do that. I don't care how many little tundra promos or whatever they nature hike shit they doing. No, they can be Grizzly Adams all they want. They ain't winning that WrestleMania though.
Okay, yeah, I'm going with the Usos as well. Can't see it. I mean, I can. Based off of what could possibly happen the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. If the Usos lose this match, I think it's a red herring for what could possibly happen on that night. Because I don't think the Usos keep that belt and then Roman Reigns loses his.
You know
what I'm saying? But I'm picking the Usos here. We got Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. Got a feeling this is going to kick off the show.
Okay.
Got a feeling this is going to kick off WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Have a women's championship match to start and then another one to end it. This right here feels like it should be the main event more than Charlotte and Ronda, and we've barely seen these two in the ring with each other.
Mm.
Just think it's going to be a better match, and I believe that Bianca Belair will unfortunately not get her get back. I just got a feeling that they are going to have a great match, but they're going to keep this feud going a bit. Unless Becky Lynch says, yo, I'm going to go, you know, kick it with the kid a little bit, which I don't think that's going to happen because the kid comes with. I got Becky Lynch winning this match.
All right. Well, man, we finally get to part ways because I am definitely picking Bianca Belair on this. I don't think the big time Beck shit is really working, to be honest with you. I just don't think it's working. And what better way to kill that than to, you know, kill it with the longest woman's title reign since Fabulous Moolah. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know. I don't see this going like long because I don't think specifically Becky Lynch is a 20-minute woman's match person.
Okay. Like,
but I do think Bianca Belair shows the fuck out and she gets her shit off and wins 2-time winning women's champion at WrestleMania, as JBL says, that just happens to be black.
All right. I'm just going to add one of those other matches up in there now. One of the matches that allegedly, reportedly might take place is Omos to wrestle Bobby Lashley. Apparently, it is rumored that Bobby Lashley is supposed to show up on Raw to accept Omos's challenge. Now, the last time we saw those two in the ring with each other, Omos chokeslammed the shit out of Bobby Lashley.
Facts.
So, and there's one more match that I forgot on SmackDown. My apologies. So, with that being said, do we believe that they're going to put the battery in Omos's back and use Bobby Lashley to do that? Or will Bobby Lashley have a successful return back to the ring on his way to challenging either Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar, since technically he ain't really lose that belt?
Right. Man, you know what? This is a first black champ audience. This is the first time two black men will go into WrestleMania with no title on the line, and somebody is gonna win and get boosted in a real way, no matter what the fuck happens.
And I want you to say that. I'm glad that you said that because the last time that we saw two black men in WrestleMania was the year before, which is Apollo Crews and Big E.
Yeah.
That right there, we thought could have been that moment for Apollo Crews, but we ain't really seen Apollo Crews in a while.
Yeah.
And of course, you take that back to WrestleMania 3 with Butch Reed and Coco Beware, with Butch Reed winning. Right. But it's not like Butch Reed was going to get the Intercontinental title, like apparently or allegedly that has been spoken about.
Right. So, man. And Apollo Crews, I don't know who hate him on Raw, but since that loss in the draft, it's been fucked up for Apollo Crews. And I don't understand. But Omos versus Bobby Lashley, literally, you got the number one contender in weight in this match. This is a low key, but very high key number one contenders match that involves two black guys. Because look, if Omos knock off Lashley at WrestleMania, Brock got to give it up or Roman got to give it up. And if Bobby Lashley win and he beat Omos, it's like, oh, what the fuck you mean I can't get my belt back? you know what I'm saying? Like, so, man, I don't know. I think it's all about how well is Bobby Lashley. I think that's what matters here. Because if this is just to make sure big homie get a WrestleMania moment and get his shit off, and why not against the black 2-time WWE champion, the only one to ever exist, by the way.
Yeah.
You dig? A salute to Bobby Lashley for making sure another brother get his shit off and get boosted up on the card while he takes some extended time off. Because shit, And a match with Omos don't need to be more than 3 minutes.
It don't.
You know what I'm saying? So man, I don't I ain't gonna front. I don't have a pick here because I don't know the status of Lashley's health, but I will say this. If Bobby Lashley's 100%, no contest. If Bobby Lashley's 100%, because that means Omos can really Omos out there, he can get the Omos in, but Bobby Lashley, he ain't going. I mean, look, we watched the man go through Titantrons and go through barricades and still pop up to really like slam you on steps and choke you out and full Nelson you to go unconscious. So again, first time we've had two black superpowers at a WrestleMania.
Yes. And
one of them going to get the next shot at the WWE Championship because they both on Raw.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because that's why my pick is Omos.
Mm.
Because my prediction is Omos is getting the title shot at WrestleMania Backlash. Mm. I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm saying that he's going to get a title shot at WrestleMania Backlash. I believe that the winner here does get a title shot and is going to be at WrestleMania Backlash. And my pick for that is going to be Omos.
Nice.
Getting that. For all of the reasons why you said, I don't think that Bobby Lashley is going to take a couple more weeks off and all of that stuff. But also, there's also been rumors that the belt, even though right now, is winner takes all, but is not like the winner's going to take all, but then the belts are going to be, split again. You're going to have a Raw and SmackDown champion. Mm-hmm. So I think Apollo Crews was the step up. Him getting Bobby Lashley and defeating Bobby Lashley would be even bigger of a step up. And then that's we're going to see Omos get the great Khali push.
Mm.
It's the best way of putting it. Not saying that he's going to get it or anything like that, the belt, but it's quite possible after this, if he destroys Bobby Lashley, he's going to get the great Khali push. One match that I failed to mention, I apologize, because it was just announced yesterday. And I don't even think it matters from a real big standpoint, but the Intercontinental Championship will be on the line on Friday. Ricochet versus Los Lotharios, Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo, in a triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Interesting.
Yeah, basically, Angel Garza defeated Ricochet by cheating, and then he was like, nah, we ain't doing this. Humberto, come over here. No, it was Humberto that cheated, and then Angel Garza cheated. So they beat him back to back. So they was like, "Yo, let's put these two in a title match with Ricochet, since there's not gonna be any room on WrestleMania. Ricochet is gonna keep the belt."
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, I'm all for triple threat minorities getting their first shot at WrestleMania. Especially for a title.
Yeah.
This match don't matter, but I am picking Ricochet. Because shit, I didn't expect Ricochet to even get the belt, let alone.
But he did do the nay-nay and the Dougie in like one move on Friday Night SmackDown. That shit was hilarious.
Hey, and this is the point where I got to concede to Boogie. I got to concede to Boogie D, because Ricochet is doing what he said black wrestlers got to do on Clubhouse.
Shuck and jive.
He said, I was like, yeah, because why? Like, I thought you were Spider-Man. Like, why you the video game with the characters? Like, now you Spider-Man at the hood party.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. All right, man, so let's go ahead and go to night two. Right.
Oh wait, we didn't.
Let's go to night. Let's stay at night one because I believe this fight. I believe the match with Seth and Cody would be a night one match too.
Oh, okay.
So let's go. And I don't really care about Charlotte. That's how much I don't care about Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. So we're just going to continue to wait. Cody Rhodes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I will say this though. If Charlotte, because they're obviously going to headline, if Charlotte makes Ronda Rousey look 3.5 star during this match at WrestleMania, then yeah, we do got to close the door on her being, at least for this time, the greatest competing woman in wrestling today. Because I think that's a very hard task. And I think before her, Sasha Banks did a hell of a job at the Royal Rumble. So if Charlotte can make her look better than that,
yeah,
I'll give it up. I'll give it up.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're going to pick that match right after this one, though. Cody Rhodes versus Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah.
Again, it looks like either Monday or Friday we're finally going to get a match announced. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it is Monday on Raw. I think that this is going to be match of the night type of situation here, being that both of these two can go. And Seth Rollins, if you think about it, these last 2 weeks, first with Kevin Rollins and then last week with AJ Styles, Seth Rollins is cooking with gas. Then you add that with Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins is cooking with gas. Seth Rollins is wrestling like the best wrestler in the WWE right now. And then he comes up against Cody Rhodes, who, if it's anybody who has something to prove on WrestleMania weekend, it is Cody Runnels. I'm not even going to use Cody Rhodes here. Cody Runnels. Here's why I say that. Because Cody Runnels left the WWE. He said that he was going to become a bigger star than he would have in the WWE. And all intents and purposes, he did that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Going the independent route, going to New Japan, going to Ring of Honor, doing this thing like that, helping co-found AEW and doing what they've done in AEW. And, you know, I know that I've given him a lot of flack at AEW, but it's not like those matches were huff.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to come up against somebody who's the flag bearer of the WWE. This is Triple H versus Sting, the younger version. This is Sting versus Bret Hart, if it ever happened at a WrestleMania or Clash of the Champions or Starrcade or whatever. This is a flag bearer of the new organization, because I don't think the WWE is going to skate around the fact that he just left AEW. I don't think that's going to happen at all, ladies and gentlemen. If Mickie James could come to the ring as the Impact Wrestling Champion, I don't think you could skate around that.
Yeah.
So with that being said, yeah, we're going to get, I think, the match of the night. And I think that Cody Rhodes is going to beat Seth Rollins.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's what you think.
Here's why I think that. And I know it's probably a shock here.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's anybody that's willing to take the L to Cody Rhodes to keep it going, it's Seth Rollins.
Okay.
It's Seth Rollins.
Very fair.
And that's like this. Seth Rollins is the Chris Jericho in this case to me. That's why I'm picking Cody. Because if Cody also comes into the WWE and loses match one, all the momentum leaves. The momentum leaves.
Okay.
I think if he loses, the AEW fans is going to be like, see, they trying to tear down our company. And the WWE fans is going to be like, oh, this is just like he left. So I'm picking Cody Rhodes here.
All right.
Not clean.
Okay. Okay.
But Cody Rhodes for the win.
But you know what? I'm going to stick to everything that I was going to say. I learned from you, Bang, that you just don't pick the Rhodes family. You just don't pick the Rhodes family when we're dealing with the WWE. I'm picking Seth freaking Rollins. Even though everything you said makes perfect sense, I think Vince will have way more joy letting Michael Cole talk the shit up of Cody being back in the WWE, back at WrestleMania, the grandest stage of them all. And while, you know, Triple H is probably, maybe he don't even make it. Maybe he's just at the comfort of his own home. Hopefully no palps, no complications. He's sitting there. And he was like, yeah, that's the guy that fucked up that throne, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Vince, that's the guy that was always referring to the other company and how we can do it this way or that way. Now, I think all of those promos that Cody cut year one of AEW Dynamite. It's going to be like, hey, man, do the best you can. But know where the fuck you at. And it's like, hey, man, no. Hey, look, you know what? I know you're great. Mm. But you know what? You've never been better than my guy. And my guy has always been Seth Rollins. Like Kenny Omega talk, that Adam Cole talk, that you talk. I'm going to show you why this guy stays here. And why I will always put him above all of y'all. And he got more to do. So, I'm picking Seth freaking Rollins.
Okay. I feel you. I feel you, though. And then we got Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. Charlotte Flair's winning.
Yeah, man, Charlotte Flair. Again, man, I'm just going to say, look, if she makes Ronda look better than she did at the Royal Rumble against Sasha Banks, we got to close the door on all those conversations of Charlotte hate and favoritism and all that. Because, look, man, there is something to be said when you just are the best. There's something to be said about it. And what we are learning is that, you know, we're 5 years removed. It's 2022. We're 7 years removed from that. Oh, my God, this women's wrestling division is so stacked. Everybody can have 5-star matches. Everybody can be so great. Because you know what? What we learned, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's not true. It's still the four horsewomen, specifically three of the four. And then there's Bianca and a couple other ladies. And then there's everybody else. So there is this carousel of like nine that are giving you. And that second tier is Rhea, Bianca, Nikki, Natty. Natty's kind of like above. She's OG. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, I train you bitches. I'm not in this conversation.
Yeah.
And then there's everybody else. So, you know, this is just confirmation. You know what I'm saying? They're going to keep putting Ronda with the best women because she still has to get super decent.
Yeah. All right, man. So that's night one of WrestleMania. With what we know and some possible matches that we don't know. Let's go ahead and go over to night two. April 3rd on the Sunday, the big night.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go over to the four-way championship match for the Women's Tag Team Championships. Queen Zelina and Carmella, they've been, you know, fighting each other. Sasha Banks and Naomi team, Bad Part 2. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan, Natalya and Shayna Baszler. I'll kick it off and say, let's just go ahead and give the belts to Sasha Banks and Naomi. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and give it. I would have said Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan because I think it's time for Liv Morgan to have something. Matter of fact, you know what? Nah. Okay. I'm going to go with Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. I'm going to change it on the fly right here. Because I think Sasha Banks and Naomi is expected. I think that's what we look for because of who Sasha Banks is and the run that Naomi has had.
Mm-hmm.
But Liv Morgan winning the belt on Sunday would be so lit for fans because she is the underdog always.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. And they just feel like a tag team to me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with those two.
I dig it. And you know what? We always talk about WrestleMania moments. And that would be the WrestleMania moment of this entire weekend.
Yep.
And so I totally get it, understand it, and respect it. But I'm still taking Team Black Girl Magic, and because I was like, hey, yo, I actually want to see them. You know what I'm saying? I like all of the pomp and circumstance and booty shaking that comes with Sasha and Naomi.
Yes. Yeah.
I like seeing black women with belts.
Yeah.
And I think this would be cool because, you know, I don't really want to see Sasha, Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I don't want to see that right now.
Okay.
So while I don't want to see that, like, let's have her do something else. What better than, I mean, hey, really, the title she made famous at this point. Like, the Women's Tag Team Championships don't matter unless Sasha Banks is holding them. So
I feel you.
You know what I mean? So I'm going to go Team Black Girl Magic to win in the Fatal 4-Way.
All right, the next match, and I'm predicting this match to be match of the weekend. I know y'all going to look at me crazy when I say this, but when you have somebody that appears on Jackass and do stunts for a living, going up against somebody that can have a great match with a broom, you're going to get an amazing match.
Mm.
If they allow the things to happen to happen. And I don't mean match of the night as far as like drop toe holds and snapmares and great wrestling moves. I'm talking about hijinks and everything. This shit is going to be amazing. It is going to be fun. It is going to be stupendous. It is going to be hilarious. Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn in what is now a anything goes match, ladies and gentlemen. So that means you might see members of Jackass come out there and help. You might see Wee Man out there. You might see Johnny Knoxville jump off some shit. This match right here is going to have all of the elements of shock and awe and with some hilarity to it. So I'll kick this off, Camp, by saying I don't give a shit who wins this match. That's my answer. I really don't care who wins this match.
Word. Listen. Wee Man in the shopping cart will be pulling up to WrestleMania. That's what you need to know first and foremost. Second, I think Johnny Knoxville is going to have sell of the night.
Man.
Because he's going to be like, nah, do the shit. You know, when you jump through the rope, and do that shit.
Do that shit. Do all of it.
Like, nah, we good. I'm telling you.
Like, I signed all the waivers. We're straight.
Right. So with that said, I'm picking Johnny Knoxville to win because he's going to be a super G for like 7 minutes. And he's going to be like, yo, come on, man. He took a better bump than half the roster.
Man, that's why I don't care who wins. Like this has potential to be Kurt Angle versus Shane McMahon.
Man.
Not the match, but the moment.
Right, yeah.
Y'all know what moment I'm talking about.
Over the end, hey, the overhead suplex through the glass.
Yes,
it's gonna be like three of them.
Man, it's gonna be some bumps in this shit. Where you like, God damn, Johnny?
Yeah, man. As soon as you hear that Baron Arrow, I hope Bam and Steve-O show up. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, every time it'd be hilarious if every time a bad bump happened, you hit Darren.
Right? Yeah. Hey, man. Yo, I hope Bam Margera show up. I hope Steve-O is there.
Everybody got to show up.
We man in the shopping cart, bro. We lit.
It's lit.
We lit.
So, hey, Johnny Knoxville, so I don't give a shit. That's how that match is going to go. All right, let's go to Pat McAfee and Austin Theory. I think this match is going to be the underrated match of the night because last time we saw Pat McAfee in the ring, that shit was lit.
Man.
And I like Austin Theory. I can't wait to Austin Theory turn face and leave the selfies behind because I believe that Austin Theory, as far as looks, has the potential to be the next John Cena. I'm just going to say that right now. Mm-hmm. With that being said, Pat McAfee is winning this match.
Yep, you're right. Never has a man been able to use punk bitch so many times on TV and get away with it. So salute to Pat McAfee just for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I like the dramatic pause. Punk bitch. I kind of get hyped when he say it. But yeah, I'm expecting a very stellar performance from both individuals. But yeah, Pat McAfee going over on Austin Theory. Because even coinciding with what you just said, that helps him like, yo, maybe I need to stop listening to Mr. McMahon. Or Mr. McMahon be like, yo, you couldn't beat the announcer. I don't fuck with you.
Yep.
Figure it out.
You're on your own, Jack. All right, let's go to RK Bro. Street Profits, Alpha Academy, triple threat match for the tag team championships, Raw tag team championships. Who you got?
Man, you know what? Hey, I'm picking them Profits, man. I'm picking them Street Profits, man. I love what they're doing. Again, I mean, hey, the slowest heel turn burn in the history of wrestling, as far as I'm concerned. But I love where it's going. Street Profits, and I need one of them baseball jerseys.
Yeah, they... Hey, Montez Ford really showed out for the crib. For those who don't know, he is from the crib. So he really showed out with those red Chicago jerseys, the Chicago Bulls 1984-85 type jersey. So shouts out to him. And yes, I am picking Street Profits because I do think we get the heel turn we've been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. I think Randy Orton turns on Matt Riddle at the biggest stage of the night. Yes,
and it's his friend, so now it hits harder too.
It now because every if for those who don't know, one of the projected matches was supposed to be Matt Riddle versus Randy Orton for the world championship.
Oh shit! Oh yeah, because they were all involved in the chamber and
Matt Rumble and all that. Matt Riddle allegedly was supposed to win the Royal Rumble, and they were talking about having those two. I mean, they were talking about many matches, but that was one of the matches they talked about.
Wow. Wow. All right.
So, hey, I'm going to pick the breakup that happened here and Street Profits to win the title. Let's go to what I think now. With that being said, the match of the night, the match that should main event night one. The match that's going to give us everything we want and more because this new Edge is cold as shit.
Yeah, man.
Let me first say this. Salute to Adam Copeland.
Yeah, man. Straight up.
He is turning himself into one of the GOATs for real. Yeah, man. Because for somebody to change up the way he's changed up at the age that he is at, not old, but he's been here for a while, but he was gone for a while. And to give us a whole new theme song that is cold as hell, too.
Yeah, hard stop, too. Hard stop and switch.
Man.
Yo. Hey, I ain't gonna front. What Edge is doing right now, I don't want to hear shit about how we gotta let shit, like, build. I don't want to hear shit about how, oh, they don't give me enough time to work with this. I had to, no.
No.
He figured that shit out in 7 fucking days. He figured it out in 7 days. It was literally one promo to the next, one feud to the next. Like, he had no WrestleMania opponent. He turned on the drop of a hat and gave us something worth seeing the rest of the fucking year.
Yeah.
So his promos are real as far as I'm concerned. He is better than all of you. Like this shit makes total sense because what he's doing right now is nothing short of phenomenal, all puns intended.
Yep. And he's going up against the phenomenal AJ Styles. Who you got?
Man, shit Edge. Man. Hey. It's time. I mean, and you know what? And what better way to legitimize what he's doing than beating somebody like AJ Styles at WrestleMania? It looks great. I mean, granted, I think, I think AJ is on the path to become that really great face again. You know what I'm saying? The 371 days face,
yeah,
which is super dope for him. I think it draws a line in the sand because, you know, he was a heel until Omos. Was like, nah, I'm not fucking with you. So we got to solidify that. So what better way to solidify both of them switching sides than for Edge to go over him at WrestleMania? People be like, yo, I fucking hate Edge. Come on, AJ. And then they pick it up at WrestleMania Backlash. And then, you know, boom, maybe that's the one AJ goes over. Then we get rubber match at WrestleMania. I mean, at SummerSlam or whatever, what have you. You know?
Man, I'm going to pick Edge here.
Okay.
My only thing is, does Edge need a world championship?
No.
I don't think so either. But the way he's going with this, he's literally going to have to say, I don't need that belt over there.
Yeah.
For me not to think that he's going to hold this belt by SummerSlam.
Hey.
Because I talked about the Omos shit and all of that stuff, and like, I get it. But if you tell me who looks like the world champion outside of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, it's Edge. And Edge with this character, with the belt, the I'm better than you, and I've been bullshitting Edge.
I mean, no, man. I mean, again, sometimes you just see it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just see it. And they're just doing phenomenal work right now, man. Like, it's very real. And the thing is, I don't care what you do to the U.S. title. He don't need that. You know what I'm saying?
Which is not on the card. So I wonder if that's going to be, if Finn's going to make it. Like, is he going to make it out? Because I know he had an issue with his visa or some shit like that. Mm. So maybe, you know, we get something on the
pre-show vibes. The pre-show vibes.
Yeah, we'll see what happened with that. I just noticed that when you say U.S. championship. All right, final match of the night. The main event, the biggest match in WrestleMania history, according to the WWE. The stupendous right. match of the night, all of those things, whatever you want to say, and dude, call this match whatever it's supposed to be. It is what it is, a winner-takes-all match to unify the WWE and Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar, WWE Champion of the World versus Roman Reigns, Universal Champion. Paul Heyman in this corner. Who wins the biggest match ever?
Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns, man. what you're now witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, is the new legacy act. All right? Brock's legacy was already solidified before we even got here. Your other legacy acts are John Cena, The Rock, Triple H, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. We need a new legacy act. This moment right here will solidify why we see Roman Reigns at 55 on Raw smacking the shit out of one of Chris Jericho's kids. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Christian's son is going to get kicked in the nuts by fucking Roman Reigns Sr. or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But this is a legacy act building moment. And it's not that you have to win or lose, but a moment like this is what stamps Roman Reigns as the guy.
Okay.
The big dog. The tribal chief. All the promos from 2012 to 2022, so he's a decade in, this stamps, hey, Vince was right. Y'all was right, even though y'all started hating. And this is what it is. Roman Reigns.
I'm going to base my prediction off of what I saw on Friday. Because they're going to have one more confrontation on Monday. We don't record on Monday. So I'm going to base my prediction off of what I saw Friday. And give you a prediction along what I hope to happen the next day on Raw. My prediction is that Roman Reigns will win the match at WrestleMania. Then what I hope to happen is the next night on Raw, Roman Reigns comes to celebrate. He comes in to say, hey, told y'all, I'm the tribal chief. But I don't like it here on Raw. So y'all can have this little belt here that Brock Lesnar felt he had to win just to go up against me. Huh, here's that belt. And then they have a WWE title tournament that will be announced as the finals at SmackDown. I mean, not on SmackDown, excuse me, on WrestleMania Backlash. And the winner of that match will become the WWE champion of the world. There's too much hot shit on Raw for now that could potentially happen. Because Raw has lately been the better show.
Yeah.
It's been turning around. With Edge, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens. Because we didn't even talk about the fight between him and Stone Cold, because there's not going to be a winner. It's just going to be a fight. So there's no need to pick it. Nobody's going to get pinned. And we know Stone Cold is going to get the better of him. Segment. Absolutely. It's basically
with
a segment.
The stunner in Texas.
In Texas. That writes itself. Yeah, and beer. It writes itself. Cody coming back. And if he's going up against Seth, it looks like he's going to be on Raw. There's too much stuff going on Raw to not have a belt there. And to have one champion, which is going to prove to be a dope-ass tournament to see who it becomes the WWE champion of the world. So that's what I would like to happen. Roman Reigns, I predict, will win, but what I would like to happen is that they do a title tournament where the winner, where two men face off at WrestleMania Backlash to see who becomes the WWE champion. Who that champion becomes, I don't know. Because also talking about Bobby Lashley and Omos as well. It gives us a chance to see WrestleMania rematches, because you know they're going to give us that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it gives us a fresh match. Maybe it is a Bobby Lashley versus Edge, you know? Maybe it is a Omos versus Edge, or AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes has to be introduced in this, because my other prediction is that Cody Rhodes will be used more as a non-authority figure, but an authority figure. And what I mean by that is they're going to utilize everything that he's done at AEW, even the executive vice president. So he is the one that's going to have the ear of Vince McMahon. He's the one that's going to be pulling some strings to become that. Which what I'm saying is, don't be shocked or surprised before SummerSlam. Cody Rhodes get what his daddy could not. Cody Rhodes get what he should have got, but he married a black woman. Cody Rhodes get, but he became Stardust. Don't be surprised if Cody Rhodes by SummerSlam is the WWE World Champion.
Wow. I like it, though. I like it.
So, and he didn't get that AEW, son.
Yeah, no. Hey,
was,
right.
I don't know who thought that was, but, you know, he wasn't booking shit, so it probably was Tony Khan's.
Right, hey. Hangman on the page, man. Salute.
Yeah, so that's our predictions, man. Let us know what y'all think. You know, tag us, tweet us at FBC.POD. I mean, we're FBC_POD. Hit us on Instagram at FBC.POD. Let us know what you think about our predictions. We'll talk to y'all next week, though, because we're going to talk about Triple H a little bit more, or history of Triple H, and something interesting that we saw on the interwebs about black people and these organizations and why I guess we need to pay attention to one of them, and it ain't AEW or WWE.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, yo, hey, thank y'all for tuning in to this week's episode, man. We always appreciate your likes, comments, shares, tags, conversation, debate, questions. You know, always greatly appreciate. Wait, man,
before you finish, because the voice that you're giving us, because you do have a sore throat, the voice that you're giving us is straight Quiet Storm vibes.
Yeah.
So we're gonna start that over while I give us the music in the background.
All right, Michelle, let's do it. Well, thank y'all, you know what I'm saying, for tuning in to this week's First Like Champ podcast. The likes, the comments, the shares, the interactions, the tags, the questions. We always greatly appreciate it, you know. And we want you to keep on doing that. Because even though we would do the show without you, it's always better to do it with you, you know. So, I mean, hey, until next time, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Camp. Bang. We are out. Ooh, 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 ooh